the book of Mark, chapter number 9, and verse number 14. We'll pray real quick. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to get to preach your word, Lord. I pray you'd speak to our hearts through it. Lord, I thank you for the power of your word and how you've used it. I pray you'd be a blessing to somebody tonight. And I thank you for all you've given us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 14, Mark chapter number 9, and it says, "And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit, and whithersoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples, and they should cast him out, and they could not. He answered him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and fell on the ground. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he said, he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it hath cast him in the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Amen. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saith saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. We see in this passage that Jesus comes back to his disciples and he finds that the scribes are questioning them. They're asking him, Hey, what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? The Bible doesn't necessarily say exactly what they were asking. But if we look back a couple verses earlier in the chapter, we have the... I'm blanking on what it's called. But Jesus is up on the mountain, and where you see Moses and Elijah, and he's transfigured, that's the word. He's transfigured on the mount there, and we look back and we see that Peter makes a blunder and says, Hey, it's good for us to be here. And Jesus is like, Wait a second, you shouldn't have done that. And God said, Listen to my son. But now as we come down to verse number 14 and on to the rest of the chapter, Jesus finds his disciples being questioned, and he talks to the scribes. But then later on, we see this guy brings his son. Today being Father's Day made me think of this passage of a father bringing his son that was in need. We see in this passage three observations of how Jesus met a father's need. First, we see the condition of the son. If we look in verse number 17, it says, One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. What does that make sense? What does that mean, right? From what I can see in the passage and from what you can see in the Bible, this guy had a demon. And this demon had possessed this young man from the time he was a child. And as we look down in verse number 18, it says, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth." And it goes on to say that here that he teareth him. The spirit was causing danger to that young man. He was hurting that young man. And the father brought him to Jesus because he knew that he could trust what Jesus was going to do. With it being Father's Day, it made me think of my dad and granddad and my mom that saved my life when I was a kid. My grandparents had an in-ground swimming pool, and we had been swimming in the pool for a while, and I was probably a year or 2 years old, and they had gone out and looking at the garden, and as a 2 or 3 year old, I decided, hey, I'm going to go jump in the deep end. I'm not supposed to, but I'm going to do it anyway. And a few minutes later, they said, hey, where's Jack? And sure enough, I was in the swimming pool. I was blue. Like, my granddaddy jumped in there and grabbed me and pulled me out. And the Holy Spirit worked in their heart and said, hey, you need to go find Jack. And that story reminds me of this man that brought his son to Jesus. And how this young man needed God's help. But we can see here that Jesus was sufficient for that man's need. So we first saw the condition of the son. Secondly, we see the cry for compassion from the father in verse number 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. This father is, he's calling to Jesus and he says, hey, I've done everything I can do, I'm sure. He's probably done everything he could do to try to help this young man. But he knew that Jesus was able. You may be sitting here tonight and you're saying, hey, I have a need in my life. But I don't know how to meet that need. You've called out to God and you said, God, I need your help. But you're not getting an answer for that. Or you've tried every possible option to be able to fix that need. But Jesus is sufficient. We see here in this passage that the man asked Jesus to do anything that he could. But the man also, the father, had willingness to trust in Jesus in verse number 22. Amen. He wouldn't have asked Jesus to help him if he didn't believe that Jesus was able to help him. Amen. Or Jesus was able to contribute something that was going to be a benefit to him. Many of the times I know in my own life, I have a problem with faith and trusting the Lord on a daily basis. I've trusted the Lord for salvation, right? Every one of us in this room is trusting the Lord to sit in a chair right now, except for me. It's that simple faith on the little things. But those little things add up. We see in verse number 23, he says, Jesus says unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Many times, like I mentioned, we have unbelief in our hearts. We've trusted Jesus as our Savior, right? We've been saved, right? But on a daily basis, we don't trust God for the little things. We try to work it all out ourselves before we bring it to Him. And Jesus has everything that we need. Amen. And we know these things. We have God's Word. God's Word shows it to us. But even Jesus hears even a child, you know? He hears an adult, and He cares for us. Thirdly, we see the condition of Jesus, that Jesus requires. He says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. Well, that takes faith. That's daily faith, trusting God. in the little things. What is something in your life that you can't meet that need that God is able to do? What is something simple that you've tried but you can't make it work? God is able to meet that need. Amen. We see the faith of the Father and his response in verse number 24, as we saw, to help that he believes and to help his unbelief. But also we see the action that Jesus took in verse number 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent and sore and came out of him, and he was one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could not we cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind cometh forth by prayer, nothing but by prayer and fasting." The disciples had done everything they could do. We saw earlier, right? The guy brought his son to the disciples, and they couldn't cast the demon out. They couldn't help the father and the son there. But Jesus comes along, and Jesus is able to meet that need. There's that faith, that prayer, that trusting God on a daily basis. And on a basic level, Jesus calls us to trust God for our daily bread. If we all turn over to Matthew chapter number 6. Verse number 30. The Bible says, "Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith?" So if God is faithful to clothe the grass, he's able to make that green grass in your yard, right? Or those weeds here in Virginia. If God's able to do that, God's able to provide for your need. Would you say, "Hey, I don't have gas in my tank. How am I going to pay that bill?" God is able. I don't know how, but I know he will. I think of George Mueller. Many of y'all have probably heard of George Mueller, the man that had orphanages in England, was able to house a lot of young people and give them a home. He, one day, they had gone to the box to buy bread, and they didn't have any money in the donation box. But a man pulled up just as they were praying for God to provide. And a man pulled up and said, "My cart wheel broke. And I have all this bread that I've made, and it's going to spoil if I don't sell it or somebody eats it." And God provided just exactly what they needed that day. So you may be sitting here and say, "How does this apply to me?" Well, going back to point number one, it says, I had said the condition of the son we saw. Well, what is your condition? Where are you? This young man, he was possessed of a demon. What are you allowing to control your life? Are we being led by the Holy Spirit? Or are we being led by money or a career or the rat race of, "Hey, I got to make it to the next thing and just survive"? But are you being led by God's word on a daily basis? Most of y'all are church people. Y'all have gone to church consistently. Y'all read the Bible every day. But God's word, day after day, provides exactly what we need. I think back to just the years that I was able to grow up in a Christian home, grow up in church. and the years of coming to church and just hearing basic Bible truth, even from a child, and how that applied to my life, and knowing who Moses was, who Abraham was, that the earth was created in six literal days.
Amen.
Those are simple things that are very simple to me to just know it. I know it. But if I think back, at a college, I do a bus class. And some of those boys in the fourth through sixth grade, they come in from Lancaster, from downtown, from Palmdale. And they don't know the basic Bible truths. We were able to work with them and show them, hey, the Bible says that there's two genders, male and female. And marriage is only between a man and a woman. That there's six literal days of creation, and on the seventh day God rested. And these basic Bible truths that we see from God's Word. So, what is your condition? Secondly, are you trusting God to meet your need? He is able. Thirdly, how is God meeting your need? What is one way that God's blessed you that you couldn't do it on your own? You've done it all that you can do on your basic everyday life. But what is one blessing that you can think of right now that God's given you that you didn't do for yourself? God did it. So, how is Jesus sufficient? We have a couple more verses here as I wind down. And if you turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Verse number 7. The Bible says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." The verse before it says, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." And then the Bible goes on to say in verse number 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." So God has used flesh, right? He's used earthly things to glorify Him so that He gets the glory, rather than if we had it all together, He wouldn't get the glory because we'd get the glory because we had done it, right? But God uses simple people in Kingstown, Virginia, to glorify Him through our actions towards others, through our witness, through our faith and trusting in Him on a daily basis. Well, you may be a kid here today and you say, okay, how does this apply to me? Jesus, he helped this young man that had a devil in him, right? That guy had a problem. He was being hurt. How does this apply to me? Well, Jesus is sufficient for your need. We see this father that brought his son to Jesus. Most of us in this room, whether you're an adult or a kid, you have a father. You had somebody that invested in your life. If you don't have a father, God is your father. God loves you. Fathers are to exemplify Him in their families. Well, that's a big word, exemplify, right? Fathers are to picture Jesus. The Bible talks about how Christ is the head of the church, and the husband of a family is the head of the family, right? And the church is the bride of Christ, which is it's a picture of a marriage, a couple, right, that has been married. One of God's provisions in your life is that earthly father that God's given you. He provides, He protects, He guides and leads. But if you don't have the heavenly Father, God still provides, But God can also surprise spiritually more than you can imagine. You may be a woman in this audience. Today's not about you because, I mean, you had Mother's Day. And today's Father's Day, right? God works it all out, right? But God loves you. And God's given you a father, whether a heavenly father or earthly father or a husband or some sort of a male role in your life. But this husband or this father here in the passage, we can look at his example of how he brought his son to Jesus. He knew that Christ was sufficient to meet their need. And you can glorify God for that and also look to your husband if you're a married lady or your father as he guides and protects, as he provides. But lastly, I'd like to share that if you haven't accepted Christ as your Savior, Jesus can meet your need as he met the need of this man in the passage. This man was in a mess. He was pretty much in one of the worst messes you could be in today. But Jesus was able to be sufficient for that. Jesus came to earth and he died on the cross. Most of y'all are church folks, so y'all have heard it before, but it never gets old. The Bible says that for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the wages of sin is death, and the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a free gift that God's given. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray that you would help this to be a blessing to somebody. Lord, I know your word doesn't return back void, and I praise you for that. Lord, I thank you how you helped this young man. You brought him out of trouble. Lord, I thank you how you're sufficient and you provide for our needs. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Jack, for that. Just a few announcements before we are dismissed. Don't forget about the red, white, and blue fellowship. Sign-ups are online. It's also in the lobby. Just sign your name. How many